All right, so last week, and we didn't have a recording of our wrap-up. So on repentance, forgiveness, and restoration, one discussion point is, have you ever said, I'm sorry, instead of asking for forgiveness?
Yes.
Yes.
In the moment, do you feel like that brought any type of resolution or closure? Not usually.
Only if it's
an accident. An accident? That's true. You know, I mean, I think you can feel someone's, you know, genuinely heartfelt when they say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can tell when someone's heartfelt about that. It is so difficult to humble yourself, to admit that you've done something wrong, and to ask someone, will you please forgive me? That is so difficult. But this is repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. So first, you've got to have a change in your own heart that leads you to the place where you want to make things right. And then you ask the question, you know. First, you make a declarative statement. You know, what I've done was wrong, and I know that it hurt you, and it's hurt our relationship. I recognize, you know, not only was, you know, that it was wrong, but, you know, how it affected things. And I'm just asking, will you forgive me? That is so powerful. And it's a demonstration of our relationship with God, but it can only come from that relationship first, I think.
And I think you can't read, or what my experience is, especially with my kids, is that you can't lead them into that. You know what, I've experienced both, and this chapter helped me realize that I had it wrong, because I would actually prompt my girls to say, what do you want to tell me?
Hug. Or if they're fighting.
What did you
other.
Do wrong? Well, if I do that, you know, of course, you know, I'm going to get them to tell me what I want, but on their heart was never right, where, what, like, before last year, last night, I experienced, you know, a consequence. And then I sat down, and I wanted to get up to go in and to get in the way again, but I chose just to sit there, and I prayed about it. And about 15 minutes later, with tears running down the eyes, the little one came to me and she says, Daddy, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. And so I knew the difference between something that was, or, you know, I had given God time to work in her heart, and that she truly, I mean, authentically came to her dad and really was sorry. And it was as good as a child, you know, asking for me to forgive her. I immediately said, oh, honey.
Something, though, he started this past week, which I love, and I love it, is when they do something that, you know, it is either disrespectful to us or they're fighting with each other, is he tells them, I want you to go in your room and have some reflection time. I want you to go think about what just took place. And that's when this incident happened. And, of course, they don't want to do that. They really do not. I mean, it's like, and I didn't think that would be much of a, like, not punishment, but sort of, you know, like, I didn't think that'd be any big deal, send them to the room. No, it was a huge deal. Like, and neither one of them want to do it. And he's like, you need 5 minutes, you know, reflection time.
Talk to Jesus.
It really has made a difference.
And then just let it go. You know, I realized that, you know, after this chapter, I mean, the big takeaway is, you know, allow some space in there for, number one, a lot of times for me just to get right.
Right.
You know, because as parents, sometimes we get caught up and, you know, we're just, you know, we can get to, you know, especially when it's between them. They're just hurting each other, and you see them tearing each other down, and you know the enemy is just, you know, he's in the midst of all that, you know what I mean? Because
right.
my children are not acting out of, you know, their true nature as believers. So, you know, it was a special moment to have her do that and just shoot in it.
I think one difference in, you know, the way it's traditionally done, where, you know, a parent might get mad and say, go to your room. But then, you know, what's after that? You know, but telling your child, I want you to go to your room. I want you to think about what you've done. I'll be in 10 minutes to talk to you. Well, they're expecting, you know, there's something else coming after the time that I'm in my room. It's not just, go to your room. You know, so it has more of a weight of the relationship, you know, because you know dad's coming in and we're going to talk about this. So I just think that has more effect of them sitting and thinking about what they've done than just sending them to their room. So the fact that you told her.
And I let them know, mm-hmm. you know, because I used to just always, before we got into this, would just go right to the extreme, right to punishment. And never realized that there were these beautiful little stages that we could just, you know, I want you to know that you're not in trouble, but you're getting ready to be there. So I just want to give you the opportunity to go think about it.
Right.
And that was exactly what I said. I said, you're not being punished. You're not. We don't do time out anymore. That was when you were younger. You're older than that now. And I just want to give you some time to think about what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
That's the most important thing for us as parents to do is to allow God to step in and be God in their lives and to allow that relationship between Him and them start kicking in and be real to them. I can't imagine how it is for God to sit back and allow us to reap the consequences of the things that we choose to do. You know, He has to allow us to fail, to get hurt, to do these things, but a loving Father He is, and He will allow us to get hurt and allow us to reap what we sow. And when we see it in that context of His amazing love allowing us to be hurt, it changes. For me, it changes everything. If God is doing this in love, you know, what responsibility do I have in this? I need to know something. And then, all of a sudden, I start seeing His character and how my character right now is not like His. And that's so important for children to see. What's happening and what they're doing right now is so unlike His character.
Right.
And we get caught up in, that's not fair, or, you know, it just wasn't right, and yada, 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 the list goes on. And standing up for our rights and sitting, being allowed to be His character.
We're laying down our rights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two more things. Number one, when a child is feeling emotional regret, sometimes it's more over the consequences that they know that are coming as opposed to the fact that a relationship was broken. They can sense maybe that they lost a privilege or they lost a toy. You know, something may have been broken. And a lot of what they're feeling is how it affects them. You know, this, I'm sure that they feel sorrow. You know, that they're sorry, you know, about what happened. But bringing them outside of the box to look at a bigger picture, you know, that you weren't the only one involved here. This affected a relationship. You know, so when a child, that's just something to think about, that when a child comes and they're sorry, I just want to ask you, what is it that you're sorry about? You know, what is it that brings sorrow to your heart? And give them a chance to explain and see, you know, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to ride my bike for a whole month, you know, or, you know, you told me to do something and I disobeyed you, and I know that hurt us. A child that young might not even be able to comprehend a concept like that, but I think it's important to ask probing questions to get a picture of what's inside the child's heart. Were you going to say something, Michelle?
Yeah. I was
going
to say, it's not that something as parents we have to teach them to look outside of themselves because it's not within them. It's part of being childish.
Right.
Childish. They're naturally self-centered, and we have to teach them to look beyond themselves because it's not what they default to. You know, they're used to us when they're babies, caring to their every whim, so they're used to being
right.
You know,
catered to.
Right. And an example today was, you know, Josh was talking about his ball rolling out in the street, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, what if a car came?" He goes, "Well, my ball might be destroyed." They're like, "No, think outside of that. Somebody's car was coming and your ball is flying, what might happen to that person's car?" But I think that's where the training comes in. Like, it's not automatically that kid because they don't realize how
right.
it affects them.
Well, it goes back to foolishness being bound up in the heart of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And really, foolishness is still bound up in a lot of us because it's never really been dealt with, you know, which actually is going to lead me to my last question. It's wanting to do, we learned this a long time ago, wickedness, you know, doing your own thing your own way. Basically, God has a standard, but when we want to sit on the throne of our own heart and do our thing our way, well, it's just wickedness, you know? And it's foolishness, especially when you know what's right and you choose to do something else. Now, this leads me to the last one. If your child comes to you at the end of the day and you've tucked them in and they're confessing all their sins, they just want to pour it all out to you and tell you, you know, what they've done wrong. Now, do you remember he talked about the fact that we encourage them and we give them some verbal praise for their honesty, but something else has to come with that? What was that?
Consequences.
There has to be correction.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, what you're saying is,
as long as you come tell me, it's going to be okay no matter what you do, there won't be a consequence.
Right, and how many Christians feel like as long as I, you know, talk to God and ask forgiveness, then everything's all better. It wipes all the consequences off the books. You know, God will forgive you, and the relationship will be restored. Praise God. And that's what our children need to understand. I love you, and I thank God that our relationship is restored. We can have perfect fellowship because we've dealt with this. But there are natural consequences.
But the relationship is really not ever severed. It's just the fellowship.
The fellowship, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Because when we've done something, we don't realize how our actions put a strain on fellowship. There's an uneasiness when you're around each other. You know, and until whatever the elephant in the room is dealt with, you know, then there's just this unspoken tension. And that's the strain on the fellowship. So, repentance, forgiveness, and restoration, you know, what that does is that deals with whatever that elephant is. You know, it removes it from the room. Now you can freely talk about it. Fellowship, true fellowship, is restored.
See, I think only God knows for sure, but I think what it seemed like was that she got in there, she started to think, hopefully talk to God about it, but she truly knew that, you know, she had done the wrong thing, and what she was missing out on was the family fellowship around the table that we have every night. And it wasn't because of just that. I mean, she was sorry for it, but at the same time, she wanted fellowship restored really bad. She did. She's not the hugger the older my older daughter is, and so it was just
wow.
It was just brilliant.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mark, you were gonna say?
Just that same, just connecting another dot between that and the way the father deals with us, because even after we have acknowledged our sins and forgiveness has been established, sometimes the Lord structures consequence for us because in Hebrews 12 it talks about that He chastens us. whole purpose of chastening is in order to train. It's that it says that if it produces the peaceable, or the peace just being restoration, the peaceable fruit of right standing with God to those who allow themselves to be trained by the correction he gives. Just allowing the relationship to be, or the fellowship to be restored, is, of course, that's a huge thing, but most, I think, many times in Christianity, we assume that just because the fellowship has been restored, that the issue is off the table now. And that is when correction begins. That's not when it's over. Because what he wants is to restore us after that act so that we don't go back there again. Or at least if we do go back there again, it's more painful to do so. We're more aware of it, and we're in the process of learning, because that's what the word there means. It trains us in righteousness, but only if you allow yourself to be trained. And I don't think that, for the most part, we as Christians actually allow ourselves to enter into that communion with God over our chastisement after we've acknowledged our sin. We acknowledge our sin and walk on it, just assume everything's great. And I think that we're going to set a pattern for children. It needs to be a pattern that they see followed through in our spiritual life with our Father. And they need to recognize that, that there are times when the Father has got to chastise us, even though the relationship, the fellowship, has been restored.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with fellowship or even being right before his throne. It's got to do with training.
It's there's a correction that comes that it's exactly like a steering wheel. You know, you begin to come off the road, you have to use a steering wheel to correct the direction of the car. You know, so it's doing something to bring a slight turn to get them back on the right path. That correction is necessary to get them back where they need to be. So, did you have something?
Just one thing to build on what Mark said. And you've said it many times. I've heard you talk about God not going against his own nature and just being absolute. And so once that seed is sown, it's going to reap something. You know, we can't just stop and say, no, I mean, God could do that, but it's not in his nature to do that.
That's right.
And that's kind of the whole principle, you know.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead.
I was just going to say that a child, when you don't just forgive them and they are sorry and all of that and everything's just okie dokie, then they are very prone to turn around and do it again because they don't remember it.
Right.
But if they have to understand that there is a consequence here, and it has been a broken relationship. It wasn't just disobeying; it was breaking a relationship.
Right. And again,
it makes them want to do it.
Right.
I mean, want to stay that way.
Again, you've got to look at characterization. You know, what is the child characterized by, and was the action childish or was it foolish?
Foolish.
You know. There's less need for, the consequences are different when it was a true accident as opposed to foolishness. And I'll illustrate this and then we'll start the video. One of my best workers last night, probably the sharpest, best worker I've got. He was driving forks first with a pallet on his forklift, which is a no-no because your visibility, you have no visibility. He comes around the corner and there's a pallet there, and it freaks him out, and he kind of veers a little bit and he hits something that bumps into the steel and bends the steel. It's not a significant amount of damage with that. We do have to take everything out, take the bars out, replace the upright, put it all back. The thing is, it wasn't just an accident. It was foolish behavior. He knew better than to drive forks first with a pallet obstructing his vision. He's already got 2 write-ups. So, I'm going to have to give him a 3rd write-up, which means if anything else happens, he's lost his job. But unfortunately, if I don't do that... Now, and here's the thing. He came to me immediately and told me what happened. He was honest.
Praise, and there's still a consequence.
Exactly. This will be on his you know, record for 6 months, maybe a year, I don't know. But, you know, I dealt with that. It was years and years and years ago. It seemed like it was, like an 8 month period. You know, little things kept happening and I kept getting written up. I'm like, geez, I can't do anything right. What is going on? So I'm pretty sure I lived with that D-Day. They used to give us a decision-making day where you got paid for the day and sent home to think about what you've done. They don't do that anymore. They just tell you to think about what you've done. You're going to finish your shift, and I might send you home, but you're not getting paid. Anyway, so now it's just a first written, second written, third written, you're terminated. So anyway, and truly, you know, he was honest. He's one of my best workers. I don't want to do this, but it was foolish behavior. You know, it's unsafe work practices. I have to write off. You know? So anyway, I'm ending with that illustration just to show that, I mean, the guy's, he's good. He's characterized by good. He was honest, but his actions weren't a true accident. It was foolish behavior. You know? Okay.
That was awesome.
It was.
Seriously.
Me too.
That one hit the hardest, man. Wow.
Me too.
We went a little bit over, so after you get everything and find yourself a seat, we're gonna start doing our